Thank you. We're going to read in 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm not going to bounce about chapters here. We're just going to read 2 Peter 3, and then we're going to see what we can learn in relation to the gospel here. So 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This second letter, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom of God given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which there are some hard things to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And we'll look to the Lord to bless the reading of his word to us this afternoon. I never worry too much about people asking questions. In fact, I always think that somebody asking questions means that there are two things. They're trying to be a smart aleck, or they're genuinely searching for the truth. But there is a question here that's been in my mind for the last fortnight, and it's found in verse 4. And it goes along like this, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of the Lord Jesus' coming? And this is one of what we want to focus on today. We want to focus on the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of his coming. And in that there, we're just going to skim down the whole chapter and see what Peter's writing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in these last days, Peter wrote that in the last days there shall come scoffers walking after their own lusts. These are people who are living the way they want. They're doing whatever they want, with whomsoever they want, whenever they want, and as much as they want. They're living after their own lusts. And you know as well as me, the Bible says that lust, when it conceives, brings forth sin. And sin, when it conceives, brings forth death. These people are happy in their sins in verse 3. These scoffers walking after their own lusts, and they're saying, where is the promise of Jesus coming? You tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. You go, and Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where's the promise of his coming? Remember the story. Remember in Acts chapter 1, and the disciples were taken outside Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus blessed them, spoke to them and blessed them, and the clouds parted, and he went up into heaven. And they saw him sit down on the right hand of God. That must have been some view for those disciples to see right into heaven and to see the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God. And the angels spoke to them. Why are you here? Why are you gawking up, looking up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. The Lord Jesus is coming. That's a promise. That's the promise of Jesus. And here's these scoffers. They're happy in their sin. They're living in their sin. And they're saying to Stuart, where's the promise of his coming? They're saying to Billy, where's the promise of his coming? They're saying to David, where's the promise of his coming? Everything continues as it is. From the creation started right up until now, there's no change. Jesus hasn't come. He's maybe no coming at all. We're just going to live as we are. Where is the promise of his coming? And that's what really was in my heart. So I just want to look at this chapter and two or three wee points. Well, tell a lie, there's 6 points. There's 6 points here. I want to look about the promise of Jesus coming. And the first one is, I want to look at his power. I want to look at his power in this chapter. And then I want to look at the picture that Peter paints. Peter paints a picture to give us a simple illustration. What does he mean? What's he trying to get at? And he uses the picture of creation and Noah and the ark. He looks again in a word that I've never spoken on in my life. In fact, I don't come across it very often in the Bible. He talks about perdition. Perdition. That's in this chapter here. I didn't put it in here. That's what it says. That's what it says. He looks also about the patience of God. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Now, we've been passed an election there. We're not going to go down a rabbit hole about the election, who got in, who didn't get in, and all this old rubbish and all the rest of it. But we got loads of flyers through the mail. Oh, vote for me, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other. In fact, I was talking to a customer in Lanarkshire, and she was running for council elections. I said, don't tell me who you're running for, or you might not get a mortgage. Oh, she says, that's fine, I'll keep that to myself. But she was running, and she would have made promises in Lanarkshire. What all she's going to do, what all she's going to benefit, and you know what, she might not be able to deliver anything. All these promises, new roads in Kelleholm, new roads in Kirkconnell, well, that'd be a fine thing, I must admit, but it's hardly likely going to happen. And we're going to bring all the jobs to Kirkconnell and Sanker and Dumfries and Galloway. We're going to do all these things, and you know what, their promises aren't worth two beans. They're not worth two beans because they're made by men and they can be broken by men. Now, you might have children and you might have grandchildren. Now, if you're really, really good, we'll take you to such and such a place on Saturday and the wains are all keyed up and you've promised them. Daddy promised, mummy promised, grandpa promised. And you go and take the wains and the car doesn't start on Saturday morning. You've broken your promise. Might not have been your fault, but you broke your promise. But here's a promise of God. Here's a promise of Jesus Christ. He's coming again. And this word for coming doesn't mean he's coming sometime in the future. This word means he's coming. Now, I'm not a scholar, so don't expect me to pronounce the Greek word behind all this. But he's coming, and he's coming suddenly, and he's coming soon. That's it here in Peter's second letter, chapter 3, verse 4. Where's the promise of his coming? And Peter goes on to talk about the power of the Lord Jesus. He paints a picture here. He talks about perdition. He talks about patience. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He talks about perishing, and he talks about peace. Peace. Peace in your heart. Peace with God. Peace to know that you can sleep tonight, that if you don't wake up, you'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's what Peter talks about. He talks about peace in this chapter as well. I want to think of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think In verse 2, Peter's saying that everything that God has promised so far has come to pass. All the Old Testament has promised that there's someone would come, a man like unto Moses. Someone would come, would be born of a virgin. Someone would come and he would be born in the outside place. He would be brought up in a lowly town. He would have to escape to Egypt. He would be brought up and he would be despised and rejected of men. All those things came to pass. The Old Testament prophesied that this man would come and he would do wonderful things. He would set at liberty those who were bruised. He would preach the acceptable year of the Lord, but his hands and his feet would be pierced. And all those promises came to pass. All those promises came to pass. Not only that he would die on the cross, not only that he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace would be upon him. And by those stripes on the cross, we could be healed. That was promised, and that was delivered. The promises of Jesus Christ can be depended upon. All these promises have come to pass. And they're saying, where's the promise of his coming? He promised he would come again. He promised he would come soon. He's promised he would come and his reward would be with him. And he's no here yet. He's no coming. Jesus isn't able to stand over that promise. That's what these scoffers are saying. These are not Christians. These are not Bible believers. These are sinners of the deepest dye, happy in their own sins. He's no coming. I can live as I want. He's no coming. I can do what I want. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he's coming, and he's coming soon. Not only do we want to think of his all the prophecies, but all this is planned. You can turn on the radio or the TV or wherever you get your news from, if it's paper, it doesn't really matter. And you can see that the world's gone mad. The price of electric's doubled. The price of gas has doubled. Food's scarce. The food supply is cut off. Oil's getting cut off. And everything's going mad. And you know what? That's all in God's plan. Nothing has taken God by accident. God didn't say, 2022, the people's going to be starving. God knows all about it. God is in control of everything. That's all in his plan. All the promises of Christ coming, Christ dying, Christ been buried, Christ raised again, has all been fulfilled. But he's coming back. And he's coming soon. And he might even come tonight. Not only the power in planning, the power in making all these things, but the power of creation. All things come into being at the word of his power. We read there, it's a very strange verse. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Here's God, and he's made everything. And those 6 days of creation, and Watson said, was all good. It was very good. It was very good. Anything God does is good. But that earth was destroyed. God said, "It's repented me that I've made man." And here was man doing what they want, being whatever they want, and God was, if I was going to say horrified, I maybe couldn't get a Bible verse for that. But God said, "It repents me that I have made man." As God looked down in the days of Noah and saw them doing whatever they want, going away from him, heading to destruction in the lake of fire, God said, "I will destroy them." And he did. There's evidence today of a catastrophic flood that washed the earth away. God's promise that he's going to do it again. But it's not going to be done with water this time. It's not going to be done with a flood this time. It's going to be done with fire. The judgment of God is going to fall upon this earth, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is going to fall because he promised it would. The earth, the heavens shall pass away with great noise. The elements, I could say the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein are going to be burned up. That's a promise of God. And that promise will come to pass. And where are you going to be, ladies and gentlemen, at that time when the earth is being destroyed with fire? Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to flee to? You've missed your opportunity to get right with God. The power of God. Oh, yes. And not only that, is he going to destroy the earth, but he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Who's going to be in the new heaven? Who's going to be in the new earth? Those who love righteousness. Those who have trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of God and his promise. The picture of God, as in the days of Noah, we've already mentioned, the people were wicked, the people were destroyed. And that promise came through in that picture of Noah. But you know, in this passage here, but the heavens which now are, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What in the world is perdition? It's a Bible verse. Here it is. The perdition of ungodly men. These are men on the earth. These are men and women who have rejected God. They have gone their own way. Where's the promise of his coming? I'm going to live as I want. I'm going to be as I want. I can do anything I want. And so you can. But God will bring you up to judgment for it. So here we are, and Peter talks. The day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What is perdition? That is the final judgment against these wicked people. Wicked boys, wicked girls, wicked men and wicked women. They're judged and go into perdition, the final damnation. For a lost soul. I've got family don't believe. I've got neighbours don't believe. Do I care about this? Do I care about warning them to flee from the wrath of God? But you know, all this judgment coming, and then we go to verse 9. Oh, I love verse. I forgot to say about the power of God as well. You know, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. God is out with time. And all this here, he sits out and time goes on. God is eternal. And God's will shall be done. But I want to think for just for a couple of minutes. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to who? Who is God long-suffering to? He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the message of the gospel tonight. That is the message of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God and his holiness, God and his righteousness looks down and he sees Robert Gray, a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Robert Gray living as he likes, doing what he likes, no fear of God before his eyes. And his promise is, I'm coming again. And he looks down and he sees Robert Gray, and he sees Robert Gray heading to lost eternity, and he's long-suffering. He's patient, not willing that Robert Gray should perish, not willing that Robert Gray should go into perdition, not willing that Robert Gray should go into hell and the lake of fire forever, not willing for that. Not willing that any should perish. Oh, the gospel of God. Not willing that any should perish. What about those people that do terrible things to men and women, boys and girls? What does the Bible say? Not willing that any should perish. What about the wee blue rinse person who gives the money to charity, goes to church every Sunday, never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she thinks she's okay. He thinks he's okay. What does the Bible say? Not willing that they should perish. Not willing that boys and girls should perish, but that they all should repent. They all should repent. What is repentance? Repentance is basically, dear God, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I can't do anything to save myself. I can't be anything to save myself. I can't give anything to save myself. I need mercy and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That is repentance. Have you ever repented? Has there ever come a time in your life when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, not believed about him, not believed the Bible in relation to his coming and his life and his death and burial, but believed on him, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Oh, hear the message. And this is what I love about the gospel. Not willing. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a message to tell you this afternoon. That God in heaven in his righteousness, God in heaven in his holiness, God in heaven in his awesomeness is not willing that you'll die, not willing that you'll perish, not willing that you'll go into perdition, not willing that you'll suffer in eternity for all, forever and ever. He's not willing that, but he wants you to repent. He's wanting you to turn. He's wanting you to believe. He's wanting you to come and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not be ashamed of it. Let's get out and proclaim it. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When did you come to repentance? When did you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? When did you turn from your sins and cry out for mercy? And Jesus Christ cleansed you from all your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. Can cleanse you from every stain and make you a brand new person. Oh, you might believe with your head you're not saved. You might believe with your head you have never repented. You have to believe with your heart. I can do nothing to save myself. I can be nothing to save myself. I can give nothing to save myself. I must repent. I have to repent. And why? Because the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's coming. He's coming soon, and it could be too late. It could be too late for you. It could be too late for your family. It could be too late for your friends. But this is a personal matter. This is a personal matter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Oh, the promise of Jesus. I'm coming. I'm coming soon. But he hasn't come yet because he's long-suffering. Oh, the patience of God. Oh, the patience of God in my life. Oh, the patience of God in your life. How often has he called you? How often has your conscience been tweaked? How often has circumstances in your life caused you to think, if that was me, where would I be? If I died instead of that person, where would I be? God has spoken time and time again into your life, and he's not willing that you should perish. And you've never repented yet. You've never trusted yet. You're not at the end of your rope yet. That's not a scriptural term. You're trusting in something else. You're trying to do something. You're trying to be something, and it's rubbish, and it'll never cut anything with God. God says, I'm not willing that you should perish, but that you should repent of your sins. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the final one, what is the result of repentance? What is the result of God's promise of long suffering? That ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blame. That's what the work of Christ can do. It can cleanse you from every sin. It can make you holy and righteous to stand before God. It can make you a brand new person and bring you into God's family. If you repent and believe the gospel. Oh, I'm so glad of the promises of Jesus. I'm so glad that they've all come and been honored so far. Jesus never breaks a promise. He's coming back. He's coming soon, and if he came tonight, would it be too late for you? Repent and believe the gospel. Let's close our eyes. Our Father, we bless you for the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we read, Father, that he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent. Father, we just pray for help for all who have listened, that we as Christians would be more anxious about the gospel. That, Father, if there's folk in here and they need to get right with thee, we pray, Father, that they'll repent, that they'll turn from their sins, they'll turn from their trying and trusting, and simply believe that the work that Christ did on the cross was for them. and have their sins forgiven even this afternoon. So we pray to depart us with thy blessing. In our Saviour's precious name we pray, give him thanks. Amen. Thanks very much for your attention. Thank you.
You're a father, 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 you're a